You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome to Kill Me Now. I am Judy Gold, your host. Okay, so I'm just prepping you right now that I am having a Kill Me Now moment because Ben decided that his dog that he has with Sharon, my ex, who I am also in love with the dog, but the dog's not shutting the fuck up. So every time I ring the Jew bell, the dog is barking. So I'm just warning everyone, Jew bell equals barking dog, okay? So that's number one. Number two is, I love this week's guest and next week because, you know, we'll never shut the fuck up. And I have to say, and I've never said this about a guest before, one of the most beautiful people I have ever seen in my life. Like, beyond gorgeous, attractive. I'm not kidding.
What?
Oh, I've always thought you were so stunningly beautiful. I'm not kidding.
Come on.
And I'm a lesbian, so it means a lot more. ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you know her from so many things because...
Oh, please.
Yes, come on. You know you're fucking hot as fucking hell.
No, I mean, that is wedding speech night. I did not expect that. That is so... Thank you.
I know. I was like, I have to tell her, but I've always thought you were so beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Buteau is here. Woo! Oh, yeah. Shit. My arms are so fucking fat. But Michelle, you are... You know, look, I've been doing this since before you're born. No, I've been doing this since I did my first set in 1981. When I was 19, and you know, I've seen so many people come on the scene. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And you're just so authentically funny. Like that's why I love you so much. You're so fucking unapologetically who you are, which makes you a great comedian, but it makes you an even better comedian because you're a woman. And I research my guests a lot. We have so much in common.
What?
Yeah. It's a phenomenon. Like, there's so much about you that it just, we'll start at the very beginning.
Okay.
It's a very good place to start. Now, I know I'm from New Jersey. You're from New Jersey.
Yes.
But you grew up in a cul-de-sac. I did not. I looked everywhere for what town, don't tell me the town yet.
Okay.
But through all of my spy work, I'm going to put it out there that you grew up in Marlton.
Oh shit. Well, I grew up in Hamilton Square, but we lived in Marlton for a year.
Fuck.
Yeah. My last year in Jersey. My dad, like, lost his job, and the reason why we were in Central Jersey is he was in New York City, mom worked in Philly, they would, you know, we were in the center.
We were in Central Jersey, too, because my mother was from Manhattan, and my father worked in Trenton.
See? And where's Central Jersey?
It's the worst place ever, it's the most racist place ever. I am going to redeem myself to say that I was born in Newark. We lived in Elizabeth, and then we moved to Clark, New Jersey. Have you heard of Clark? White Clark, New Jersey?
I have heard of Clark. I've never been to Clark. Maybe I have by accident, but I feel like people don't understand how racist New Jersey is because they just see Jersey where Italian people are
right.
Darker. And that's just not what it is. It is like the other, the Italians, the Irish, the Polish, if you're exotic, and then truly like tracks and like the Chinese people stick with each other. Everyone is sort of like,
it's very segregated. The Jews and Italians seem to stay together. I lived next to two Italian families, but you know, the thing about where I grew up was there were no black people, none, zero.
Shit.
And there was a KKK, and we would get swastikas on our house, and they would burn crosses. And it was so, I mean, they were really anti-Semitic, but they were more racist. And I remember when I was a teenager saying, why did you move here? You know, if you, and a location, I mean, it wasn't built up yet. You know, it wasn't, they weren't certain that it was a white place when they moved. It was 1968. And like, there were no houses on our, there weren't that, you know, not all the houses were up yet, but it was such a fucking shit show. And then I went to Rutgers and thank God.
Didn't
there was
that fuck
diversity.
With you though, just to walk down the street by yourself? Do you know what I mean? Just to walk on the street by yourself. Let's say you have the Star of David on.
No, they, you know, I was so unaware because all the Jews and Italians were on one side of town. And then all the others were elsewhere, like in Polish and German. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like the systemic racism, you know, and Jersey is pretty racist, don't you think?
Jersey is
and Republican.
Racist. That's why I will never go back. I mean, I feel like I truly got out. Do I love my friends? Yes. Did most of them vote for Trump? Yes.
Oh!
Yes. And a lot of these women are gay, but they are...
And they voted for Trump?
Yes.
I need their numbers.
They don't know. They're just, you know, very conservative, very Catholic, maybe a dollop of self-hating. I'm not, you know, I'm not a therapist. I don't know. But I think a lot of people just think, well, I'm Republican. My family's Republican. So I just go to get along.
But he's not even, it's like, he's not even fucking Republican. He's a fucking asshole. And I have to ring the Jew bell because I did mention Jew. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. We're going to have light Jew bell on this episode. Maddie, shut up! Sorry. So anyway, so you grew up in New Jersey. Haitian mother, Jamaican father, mother, half white. Jamaican mother, a Haitian father. Mother, half white.
Yes.
And skinny and just perfect body and beautiful. And, you know, it's just your body stuff is so... It's so is me, you know. I mean, I'm tall, but I'm also big. I'm not like the waif, like, oh my God, you should be a model. Okay.
And then when you're this in between, everyone sort of throws their inner monologue on you, like, you know, you're so many different definitions of what people have to be
right.
Skinny or fat. Or feminine, or delicate, or masculine. And it's just like, I'm really just truly trying to be fucking me.
Right.
Like a day to day, not even this year, just this fucking day.
Right.
So, you know, just because I have tits does not mean I wanna fuck you, sir. It just means that there's a lot of flesh here. So it's like growing up in Jersey, go to Wawa and get a fucking.
Oh my God, Wawa.
Exactly. Jersey reference. I should have a bell for a Jersey reference.
Bing. Wawa. My mother would only buy milk at Wawa. She said they had the best milk. But fucking Wawa. I can't believe Wawa. Your mother had wavy hair.
Yeah.
And they were both. I love when you talk about in your act about how they both had office jobs. And you one time they brought you to the office and you were like, oh my God. I really want an office job. And then they bring you to the office and you're like, oh my God, this is so fucking boring.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. And
it's a rat race.
What did they do? What did your parents do?
My dad was an international auditor and he would go to insurance companies all over the world and audit them. And
wow.
He speaks eight languages and he's deaf in one ear. So he's like, you know, he's very accomplished and he's, you know, he's going to let you know whether he's in the room, whether he wants to be there or not, that kind of guy. And my mom is very quiet. My mom is, she was a customs broker and she's really smart too, but I think she always was next in line. She always raised the men up. She wasn't even the vice president. She was assistant to the vice president, to the president, and had all the ideas.
Right.
She was very working girl, like Melanie Griffith, the working girl, but she couldn't get her voice together, you know? And I think, she says
and that's that generation. That's the generation.
Yeah.
Your father, I know people who are either slight deaf or deaf in one ear, and they think of it as a gift because they would be talking to someone and they fucking hate the person, then they turn their head and they'd be like, you know,
oh, that's my whole childhood. He doesn't know anything I've said. He's like, that show's amazing. I'm like, can you tell me one thing I fucking said? Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's so funny. And you were brought up Catholic.
So Catholic. My uncle's the Archbishop of Jamaica. Like,
no fucking way.
Yeah, like
no Jew bell on that. No Jew bell on that.
Yeah, man, we are Catholic. Yeah.
And are your kids, your husband, you know?
No. Well, no, my husband has two older siblings that were baptized, but by the time his mom had him, she was diabetic. She got diabetes with him and she was like, just fuck everything. Fuck it. Let's just get through it.
Right.
European people, you know, are not as religious because of what happened with the last war. And they're like, you know what? We're going to cool it on this religion bullshit.
Isn't that so interesting that because of their history, they're like, okay, this religion stuff is kind of bullshitty. And yet here we are in this new country where we've created the worst religions at like this fucking evangelical bullshit. And it's just hate filled. And yet, because we're such a baby country, we're going through these growing pains that are,
it is a lot. It's almost like the universe has just figured out what the fuck recycling is. And now we're just trying to go along with her. But yeah, I mean, it is fascinating to see a place like Germany who has learned from their fucking mistakes and try to make it better.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also interesting watching politics with someone from another country because my husband will be like, why are they talking about what religion they are? What does that have to do with the politics? I'm like, thank you. So that part. But, you know, my kids are not baptized. My mom is real upset about it. That was a big thing. We had planned a baptism because my uncle was going to baptize them a year ago. And I picked my godparents. And did I tell you this?
No.
I picked my godparents and I was like, you know what? I'm not really down with the whole baptism thing, but I'm the only child. And so I'm like, I'm really trying to break away from people pleasing, especially my parents. But you know, it's like you start to parent yourself when you're a parent. And so I told my mom who the godmothers are. And I'm like, the godmothers are gay. Is that cool? And she's like, let me see. I'm like, I don't even want to be a part of it. Where it's like a, let me see.
Yeah.
And so she's like, it's fine. And so she didn't say anything, and it was brought to my uncle's attention when he met Rebecca Donahue and her wife, Carrie, that we're all in town. People have flown in from Seattle, LA, Jamaica, Holland. People have flown in all over from Florida, and now, like, over 50 people are coming, and my uncle, you know, hits me up the day before, and he's like, I am so sorry, but, you know, the church doesn't recognize a union between same sex. And you have to find someone else if you want to go through with this. And, you know, he was very sweet about it. He wasn't an asshole. And I was like, I there's no way I can do that. Like, these are my chosen family. This is my chosen family. These are the people I choose. And I don't know how to even talk to my, how am I?
No.
I don't even know how to.
That's what a shitty position to put you in.
It was horrible. And it's still a thing. And it's a year later. But we ended up doing a blessing. A friend who's got like a little degree or like a little certificate, whatever. We just canceled everything and just threw it in the backyard and told everybody to come.
Did your uncle come?
No, he said he couldn't come and be a part of it. And like, look, he's been in the church for over 50 years. He's going to retire soon. I understand his position. You know, I just, it really hit me hard when my mom was like, how dare you choose your family, your friends over your family. And I'm like, I'm choosing right.
Oh my God.
Wrong.
You know what that shows me? Like that experience.
Yeah.
Is what gay people go through all the time. Like you, in a way that's a gift. I want to cry now, but it's in a way that's a gift that you, a straight person, got to experience that sort of, sorry, you're not equal. Sorry. We love you, but you know, and that is, I mean, that's the whole basis of the gay rights movement, you know, like dignity and respect and equality. It's just, I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
You know what? I'm not saying I'm glad I went through it, but I, you know, everything is a hard lesson. Not everything is going to be easy. And I hope my mom is silently proud of me and her grandchildren.
How can she not be? I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, but what if I was gay? What if your grandchildren are gay? How dare you? Because if you are really religious and God is love and love and all paths lead to God, then how the fuck are we going to tell somebody who they could be with? And I was like, this
And like anyone would choose it. Like, that's the other thing. Like, anyone would be like, you know what? Let me make my life as difficult as possible.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
You're 8 years old. And you decide that you are going to start a magazine on your...
Oh, my God.
called Head Over Heels.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay, James Lipton. Give it to me.
Yeah. Oh, I am. I'm pretty James Lipton-y. Yeah. So you decide you want to do a magazine, and you're putting it in your neighbor's mailboxes until they were like, stop... putting a magazine in my...
I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I was just thinking I have a story in my heart that I want to share with everybody. And, you know, I'm like, they'll love it. It's going to be so great. And it was terrifying if I think about it. It was like a head in a shoe, like a severed head in a shoe. And it was all the... It was just like, so-and-so's dog took a poop. And this is what it looked like. Right. And I dropped the poop. I'm like, so what a bee sting. And they're like, what the fuck? This kid needs friends. I'm the only child, right? And so there's really no one to talk to. And piano lessons are like, great, but that's not going to keep you entertained.
Right. You know what's so funny that you created that? Like, kids today don't know how to be bored and do stuff like that, you know what I mean? And some of the greatest things came out of being bored or trying to entertain yourself.
Truly.
And that is so great that you did that.
It's so fucking sad. I mean, I think I buried it too by the house. I'm just like, time capsule. Do you have a time capsule in your old house?
I don't. Do you?
I do. I mean, I'm sure it's gone now. And they're like, is this a cry for help? Is this a message in a box? But
yeah. So, like, when you were being an only child, like, you had to go outside of the house to socialize and stuff like that. And did you have a lot of friends, like, as a...
Not really. I mean, the way I was when I was younger is kind of how I am now. Like, in comedy, I have, you know, a foot into a lot of doors in comedy, like, different, you know, I guess genres, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily have, like, a ride or die. I'm a very social loner, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, Henry, my son Henry, who's produced at West Side Comedy Club, you know, he's been...
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah. So he's like, Mommy, how come you're not, like, best friend? Like, your friends aren't... All your best friends aren't comics who you hang out with all the time. And I'm like, because you have to have a life, you know? It's like, I do have, like, really close friends who were comics, but they're not... A lot of them don't do stand-up anymore because I'm so old. But that's... I love that about you, that you have, like... You have boundaries and you're in, but it's not like all encompassing, like psychodrama.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a star fucker. I'm not here to a lot of people do comedy to meet people. That's sort of like a way to figure out how to get over their social anxiety and also to fuck people.
Right.
That's one thing it's too. Like,
yeah. only the guys. Cause female comics never get fucked.
like, even when I saw you at Carson Kressley's Christmas party, I was like, oh god, like, you just totally, like, you know, brighten a room, and, like, you know, everyone's laughing at you, and, like, yeah, and you, like, and I'm like, that's so cool, and I'm just sort of in a corner trying to figure out where to get the next drink.
Oh, please, that's all from being humiliated as a young child. and so when you were 10, you started getting freckles, which is, first of all, they're so adorable. Like, I love your freckles. And you said, and they just get more and more. And you said that when you see another person of color with freckles, it's like, I think it's like the same thing with the tall woman who's really tall. You're like, hey, what's up? You know, like, there's a little.
Sisterhood.
Yeah. Like, here you are. You have body, well, we'll get into the body stuff. And then you have freckles. So, and it's like this whole idea of not looking the way you're supposed to look. Like, it's so, it's so sort of shapes who you are, pun intended, you know?
It definitely shapes who you are, because you think, because people want to always cover them, like, my mom would always cover them before we went to church and straighten my hair a lot. So you think that there's something wrong with you.
Right.
You think that, like, why is my body doing this? Why is my face different? Like, I look at people. It's so funny. The things that you didn't like now are the things that everyone loves.
Right.
Right. So that is wonderful. And it always makes me jump a little bit when I sit in a makeup chair and the makeup person's like, do you want to show your freckles? And I'm like, yes,
baby. Yes, like, they're the best.
Like, why is anyone that thing? And then it also
much about them and not you, you know?
Yeah, and now that I'm 43, I can fucking recognize that. But even at 32, I'm just like, I don't know. What do you think? And it's fucking stupid that I should have anybody else's approval for what is mine. So,
what do you think? Why do you think your mother covered them up?
I don't know. I think that she thought it looked the same, I guess, the same reason why you would, like, pluck your eyebrows, like it
didn't look
like it was neat or something. And, she's not racist at all. So it isn't just like, you gotta look more white. Everything is like, you know, you just have to look more proper.
Right.
Jamaica, racism exists everywhere, but it's a lot of classism, and it's just like, well, people with money don't have freckles or some bullshit. I don't even know.
And then you said you're 11 years old and you wake up on your 12th birthday and you have tits. You wanted a bicycle.
Yes.
And you woke up with huge tits.
Yes. Yeah.
Did it seem like, oh my God. Oh my God, where did these come from? Or
absolutely. And, like, when I tell people that, they're like, yeah, right. And especially, like, my husband and some friends, right? But when we put the babies to sleep for a nap and we wake them up and they look like completely different children.
Yes.
Like, this is what it is. Like, you just wake up and there's just something different about you and you can't explain it. And so, yeah, man, it was, and I got my period like not too far, like after that, but I was still a child. So I was not ready to become a woman. And,
right. And you get objectified. Like, that's what people don't understand. It's like, the minute you get boobs and your period, you're now a fucking object to so many men, you know? And you're a girl. You're a little fucking girl.
Yeah. I wanted like an iridescent purple banana boat seat.
Oh.
And now all of a sudden I'm a whore.
Right. You know? Like, did you get treated different? I mean, I know the answer to this because, you know, as a big woman, we get treated differently. Yeah,
I did. You know, my uncles were just like making, you know, little comments, and my mom would always say, stop sticking out your chest. But I was just standing up straight because she told me my whole life to stand up straight.
Right.
I never looked like anybody else. I couldn't run as fast because my tits was so big. Pool parties were just weird, you know, even trying to find, because I went to Catholic school all the time, so even trying to find civilian clothing for our one day off a month that we could wear clothes was just like awful. It, like, I just look like Johnny Cash.
Oh my god. I was 6 feet at 13 and I had a size 12 shoe.
Wow.
And I couldn't, my mother, well, you're 15 years younger than me, so 14, 15? Are you going to be 44? 43?
I'll be 43 in July.
43?
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll be 58 in November. Oh, my God.
Get it, girl. Get it.
Anyway, my mother had to make my clothes. Like, they had these simplicity patterns, and my mother had a sewing machine. And she was very crafty. I mean, my parents were much older, so I grew up, it's like I grew up in the 1950s, but it was the 1970s. And, you know, I didn't physically look like everyone. And then I couldn't wear clothes. Like, you know what I mean? It's not even like I could wear something cool. And it's to this day, it's something. You know, there was an interview I read that, and you talked about the Jersey Mall, which is so Jersey. Like, that was our activity. We're going to the mall. That's what we did, pre-phone and everything. What are you doing? We're going to go to the mall, especially after you got your license. That's all you did was fucking go to the mall.
I used to work at Merry-Go-Round.
Oh, yes. I remember Merry-Go-Round. Yeah.
I worked at, what is it? Wild Pear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's lived a life. But yeah, you go to the mall and none of these, but I would walk by stores and be like, do you have this size? No. And it was, it's horrible. It's like, and it makes you feel again that you're not worthy.
You're because, other. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause nobody is making you feel seen. And so I wish my mom would make me clothes. Did your mom make you bell bottoms?
She did. Oh my God. Did you see that picture I put on Instagram where I'm with my
looking right now.
Other? Oh my God, I'm with my father and my sister at the Niagara Falls I mean, it's so ridiculous. It was on Father's Day. You got to see my outfit.
I'm looking for it. Oh my God. Yes. Wait, is this in Switzerland?
No, that's in Niagara Falls, I think. Canada.
Flowers. That is so righteous. It's so handsome. He was tall too, huh?
He was 6'2", 6'3". Yeah. And my mother was 5'9". But my grandparents, my grandfather, who was born in 1892, he was 6'4". And my grandmother was born in 1896 and she was 5'8". I mean, like, we're just fucking tall. And it was so hard because my mother would always say, they're jealous. The kids are jealous because they would pick on me. And it's like, no, they're not. They're, you know, like, I would look at myself like I was in the marching band. Like, I would see myself and go, oh, no wonder they pick on me. What were you into a lot of activities in school and everything?
No, I wanted to be, but my parents worked really long hours, so there was nobody
and
to
slap you. Yeah. My mother worked too.
Yeah, like, I played soccer once and I really loved it and I had potential, but I had to keep like bumming a ride home from like Lisa, Jennifer.
Did you have a prom?
I did have a prom, but I went to three different high schools, and so the high school.
How come?
I know, it's so silly. I begged my parents after eighth grade, please don't send me to Catholic high school. I want to go to public school. I'm done with this. I go to public school. I get beat up all the time. So I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I threw a desk at a teacher because she said, stop acting like a nigger. Like, it was insane.
No fucking way. Yeah. Fuck her, that fucking cunt. Sorry.
I know, that fucking cunt. No, fuck her. And I got detention for it. So, and talk about Jersey being racist. It was
so beyond.
And shit, maybe I should go back to Catholic high school. And so I went to Notre Dame High for a couple years. And then my dad lost his job and we moved to an apartment in South Jersey. And I just ended up going to the public school there. Cause I'm like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to pay all this money for me to go to a school where I feel safe or whatever the fuck.
Right.
People were really nice there, but I went to the prom there and everybody knew each other since they were like five.
Right.
So I was just, you know, kind of like the odd man out, having fun, dancing on the sidelines.
But never really feeling like you fit in.
Yeah, which is kind of what I feel now.
I know, exactly. That's why you're such a great comic.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra, that has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them, and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
How do you think your father losing his job affected you and your family?
Man, you know, when people say happy wife, happy life, that is not the case for the three of us. It was definitely, you know, my dad that sort of could make or break the spirit of our family. And so the fact that he was let go for a company that he put so much into for over 40 years, and he was the only black guy, and he taught a lot of white dudes to come, like how to do the job, and they ended up, you know, going a lot further ahead than him, and sort of like
the racism.
Yeah, these are his friends, and they also like turned against him. And that was the first time I actually saw my dad depressed. And so for me, I kind of liked it though. Like I enjoyed it because for me, it felt like that was the first time I felt like my dad is just a guy trying to get through the fucking day.
Like, right. You looked at him as a human being. Like there's there's this weird part. Like I remember my mother, I didn't realize till later, was, had depression and anxiety. And there was one point where she was like, I'm a person too. She said something like that to me, like, I'm just a person too. And I was like, you are? Like, cause you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have them on a pedestal, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, respect me, I'm your mom. Respect me, I'm your dad.
Right.
And you're a teenager and you're just like, why didn't you, how come you never listen? And so instead of going through all that teenage angst, I was like, oh shit, he's sad too. Let me sit this one out and figure out how to help everybody.
Oh, that's so sad. Okay, so you end up going to FIU. I have to do transition. You go to Florida International. And I have to tell you, that's a fucking great school, number one. And number two, I performed there like 30 years ago.
Of course you did.
25. Yeah. It's a really good school.
It's not a bad school. I mean, for like a little old university that will take anybody and you can afford it, you know, you learn a lot. I mean, it was so nice to be in South Florida too with people who didn't always ask me about why I'm black and light and why I have tits, and everybody was just out there letting shit hang out. People spoke three different languages. I didn't know what the fuck they were saying, but they were getting them. It was like amazing. And there were, just the first time I really ran into gay clergymen too. I'm just like, yo, I'm just out here doing it.
So, right. You know what's so funny about being a Jersey person? It's like, you realize when you leave that there's a whole world out there and it's so close to them. It's like 10 miles away. It's 20 miles away. And there's so many people like, I don't go to the city. I'm not going to Philly. I'm not going here. I'm not going to New York. Like, and it's like, and they rather would stay in their close-minded little,
I know.
It's amazing. And I can tell a Jersey person too, but yeah.
Oh man. It's interesting. Yeah. When you go to Florida, everyone thinks you're from New York anyway. So I'm like, I'll take it. We don't give a fuck.
You studied journalism. Is that correct? Which would go in with your head over heels magazine.
Yes.
Do you have any copies? I want a copy of Head Over Heels magazine.
I don't think I have any copies. I wanted to be a journalist because, there's something really fun and interesting about, again, probably this is why I do comedy, but, on the fly and...
telling a story, yeah.
Telling a story, a live hit, adding some depth and nuance to what's really happening, even if it's a house fire, and what could you learn and stuff like that. So, and also after going to the office with my parents for so long, I just wanted something that felt different.
Right. You tell a professor that you want to be a journalist, and he says, you're too fat to be on camera.
Yeah. We were going around the class at FIU and telling him what our major is and what we want to do and stuff like that. And so when I said that, he said, you're just simply too fat to be on camera.
I want to kill him and that fucking high school teacher cunt. Go ahead.
I know, but this is also like comedy, right? You learn from the bad and the good because I don't know why. I'm my daughter's mom and I believe him and I'm not going to challenge authority and he's my elder. And to his credit, I didn't see anyone like me on TV. So I'm like, I guess he's right. He's been doing this for a while. And
yeah, that's true. You weren't represented. You said that I heard you say that In Living Color was like the only show.
In Living Color, which was a sketch show. And it's like you're not good enough to play yourself. You have to play other people.
Right.
And dance and not even say anything at all. So I'm just like, cool. All right, I guess. So
did that hit you? Another similarity. I went to Rutgers and then I wanted to go to graduate school at Mason Gross for theater. And I auditioned for Bill Esper and he said, you're very talented. You have perfect comedic timing, but you're too tall. How do you expect me to cast you? And I didn't get into graduate school because I was too fucking tall. And my mother was like, you'll show him. He's dead. I think he just died. And my mother was like, yo, I'll show
him. Go pee on it.
But I was like, when I read that about you, I was like.
But this is what I'm fucking saying. Like, had somebody been telling me and other little girls, you can do anything, be the first one, it's okay, pave the way, not get bikini body ready, cover your freckles.
Right.
Like, we could have a fucking female president if we just teach our girls that they can fucking do anything. And so, yeah.
Well, we had someone who was overqualified, but we need to grab by the pussy motherfucker because everyone hated her. Yeah. But, and then you said you loved Living Single. That was another show you loved. And
that's so good.
You decided that you were going to go, and you said you learned first, you worked in retail, and that's where you learned a lot about people in general, and their prejudices and how full of shit they are. And you decided after the fucking ask, do you know who the professor is who said that? Motherfucker.
I have not used his name, but I know who, of course I know who he is. And I didn't even realize it was a thing until someone asked me, like, way into my comedy career, how come you just started doing on-camera stuff? And I really had to think about it. I'm like, oh, this is why. This is why I got into TV production.
Right.
Be behind the camera and make basic people look interesting.
Right. When I was in seventh grade, I tried out for the basketball team, and the coach told me I was too tall for the team and it wouldn't be fair to the other players.
The fuck on.
Yeah, Wayne Carrick. And
fuck it. Is he dead?
No, he's alive. But there's another coach at my high school who follows me on Facecock, and he was like, hey, Judy, I remember you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, well, and he had a picture, and the guy, Wayne Carrick, was in this fucking picture. But it's like, the fact that I even remember his name, like, you fucking remember every. And I said, yeah, he's the one who told me I was too tall for the basketball team. And meanwhile, my son is going to play basketball at Tulane, you know? And so he said, oh, yeah, he regrets that. Fuck him. Go fuck yourself, you fucking.
Let him live in that regret. Karma, right. Bitch. That's why you're bald and lonely.
All right. So you decide you go into production and editing, which I love because you really do have people don't realize that editors are the ones who really tell the story. And then you're doing the late. You went on the night shift, correct?
Overnight shift. Yeah, that was crazy. Midnight to 9:30.
And then I got
Fox promoted.
And NBC. You did.
I got promoted so quickly because everybody was really old, and especially when we started to change over to nonlinear, and it wasn't just big old beta tapes anymore.
Right.
You're like, oh, she's always in a good mood and she gets everything done. I mean, I get everything done quickly that's not precious to me. So I'm just like, this basic story.
I heard you say that too. It's amazing what you can do when you don't give a shit. And it's so true.
Yes.
It's beginning of your career when you go on auditions and you're like, oh, and you don't fucking care because you don't know. Then when you know, you're like, fuck, you know, it's so awful.
It's fucking bananas. It's not okay. And I wish I didn't know how much you could actually make from a TV show because I wouldn't give a fuck. It's okay. Not like executives give a fuck about us anyways, but
right.
I mean, those were some crazy days. I was also just so tired of doing stuff for other people. You know, I really love the money. I love that it felt different, but then it started to feel the same. And then 9/11 happened. And
That's so fascinating. You said 9/11 is what made you a comp. Can you tell?
I mean, I had coworkers who were like, oh my God, you're so funny. Like writers and stuff that would sit in my edit bay because I don't say like, I'm too cute for this edit bay. Like I need a fucking window. She needs a window. There's no window. It's dark. It's creepy. This isn't who I am. It's a picture of like a beach. And I'm like, this is sad as fuck. And so I would also tell them about like my roommate who had an all white cat named Cocaine. And I started writing.
Oh, that's right. I have that. you had a roommate with a white cat named Cocaine. That is fucking...
This cat was so far beyond anything. And I'm not even a cat person, but I'm just like, I will give a cat a chance.
Right.
And this cat had one pink eye, one blue eye, and knew how to open a fucking door. I'm
no.
Like, it was insane. It
Wait,
was insane.
Did your roommate do cocaine?
No, she never did cocaine, which was just like
fucking, so weird. Yeah,
she was from Miami, and I thought I think she thought it was edgy, but
right.
She doesn't know anything about edgy. She fucking
so she's walking in the house going, "Cocaine, come here, cocaine."
Well, then she would call the cat Kitty. I was like, "Is it Kitty or cocaine?" She's like, oh my God. I was like, "This is why you're never gonna make it in life, bitch." Plus, she loved olive oil and would always have it on her face and hair, so all her doorknobs were fucking slippery. And I'm like, "Bitch." Finally, fucking separated way. She took like half of my plants and my spoons. Spoons only. I'm like, that's wild. I was like, are you going to make a voodoo doll out of these fucking spoons? But anyways, my coworkers are like, you're so funny, you should do comedy. And every show I went to was like a shitty show, and it was mostly guys. And anytime there was a girl, they'd be like, all right, hold on.
Yeah, wait, this is the best. I wait. First of all, the fact that you would start comedy after, I mean, that was such a turning point for so many of us who had been doing comedy for so long that we didn't know what was funny anymore. And we were so, and that's when you, it's sort, yeah, that's when you began. But the fact that you didn't see women, which people don't fucking understand, that we never got to work together. Like we never, that if three guys on a show is a show, three women on a show is a special event. And most clubs wouldn't put more than one woman on a show.
And this is fucking recently. This isn't even like 40 years ago. Bitch, this was like 5 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is like the haha women are so funny show because we have more than two women.
Right.
It's fucking bananas.
But
I don't even know if the players at some point like even knew what they were doing.
No one curated the shows. You know, like it was always like white guy, we'll have one black guy and we can't have a black guy and a woman on a show, you know? And then if it was three people of color, then that was an urban night. Like it was so, but three white guys was just a show and it was so fucking annoying.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of my interview with Michelle Buteau on Kill Me Now. How amazing is she? If you like the show, which, I mean, how can you not? Please make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. 5 stars only, please. 5 stars. 5. Also, if you haven't had the chance to pre-order my new book, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. It is available for pre-order now. It's going to be released in 3 weeks on July 28th. It's really good. And I just got a delivery of them and they look great and you better buy it. So Booklist, by the way, Booklist, which is a very amazing website for librarians, says that my book, yes, I can say that, is a powerful and powerfully funny argument in support of how vital free speech is to comedy and comedy is to us. Come on, people. So there you go. It would mean so much to me if you would check it out. I'm going to be doing a lot of press for this. So look for me. Go to my website, judygold.com. There's pre-order links there. Plus, you can see where I'll be appearing on Zoom. And you can get it wherever you you buy your books. There's also an audiobook, too. In my voice. So thank you for listening. And as always, remember to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all my upcoming dates and everything. And for my snarky comments at Judy Gold, you know, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, like Jew Gold. And as we always say here, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... For part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.